I want you to turn with me, if you will, please, to Philippians and chapter 4. We've been going through the epistle of Paul to the Philippians for some time now, and we've come to verse 8 in our study together. And may the Lord be pleased to bless this word to us and help us each one. I had a question in my mind whether I should preach about the harvest or should I carry on with the study. But I think that the verse that we're going to look at really includes harvest, and you will see as we read it together. It's Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. I suppose the last little phrase there is the verse, or part of the verse, that we should take as our text, because it summarizes the whole of the verse. Think on these things. Paul seems to have come to his conclusions now in this verse, where you'll see in verse 8 he says, finally, brethren. Mind you, if you look at some of the other epistles, you'll see that he said finally a number of times. And preachers know all about that. They say finally, and then they carry on for another 15 minutes. So you have to be careful when you just read those particular words. But what I want to really say to you is this. Our verse is really concerning about the battle for the mind of individuals, because it's all about thinking on these things. We live in a day when there is a battle for the minds and hearts of people. You turn on your television and you'll see numerous adverts for the same sort of product. It's a battle for the mind. You go along the road and you see great big hoardings, and the larger they are, somehow the more that they speak to people. It's a battle for the mind. Posters that you see, and even religious people and sects, it's all a battle for the mind. And we're living in a day when there is a battle for the minds and hearts of people. We may ask ourselves the question, which is a very important question, why is there such a battle for the mind and heart of people? Well, the Bible has the answer, because we know that in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, it actually says this, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, how a man thinks in his mind, that's exactly how he is. And that's how he will react, and that's how he will act. And therefore, of course, we must understand that men and women who have something to sell will enter into the battle for our minds. And if they win the battle, then we will take their products and they will get the profit. But of course, we understand as well that there's a negative to this as well as a positive. The negative, of course, is that people bend our minds and make us understand or try to understand whatever they're trying to say. And we take it and we do it. And we're taken in by it, really. On the positive side, of course, the Bible is a positive book. So that from start to finish, we have messages from the Lord and a word from God, which will do us good and help us to live and show us the right way as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So our title today is simply The Battle for the Mind. The Battle for the Mind. I want you, first of all, to consider with me the importance of our thoughts. The importance of our thoughts. Excuse me. I think that you will understand when I say this, that in a certain sense, we're entered into the realm of psychology. First of all, as far as we're concerned, we look. And then we judge. And then we act. That's probably exactly what we do every time we take a decision. Let's think about that. The first thing that we want to think about is our thoughts are subject to the search of God. To the search of God. Let me give you one or two scriptures which are important. First of all, again, we quote from the book of Proverbs, which has a great deal to say about the thoughts of man. The thought of the wicked, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. That's in Proverbs 15 and verse 26. And then we go back into the chapter that we began in our prayer meeting last week. In Genesis chapter 5 and chapter 6 and verse 5, we read this: God saw that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. The thoughts of his heart was evil continually. That's in the day of Noah. And of course we know that there was great wickedness there. Such a wickedness that God judged the world and sent the flood, and so that there were only 8 people that were saved, and creation began almost again. We turn to the book of Psalms, and Psalm 94 and verse 11 says, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man." Have you ever thought about that? God sees my actions, surely. God sees what I do. Yes, he does. But he also sees our thoughts before we do it. And then there's another scripture, and this comes from Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 18, where it says, "I know their works and their thoughts," reminding us once again that God looks right into our hearts. He knows every detail about every one of us. It's a frightening thought, and yet it's a true fact that God knows every detail about our lives. And then that wonderful Psalm 139, I want you to turn to that one with me so that we can just have a look at it. Psalm 139, and many of you people here that today will know, of course, this lovely psalm. But let's have a look at it. Psalm 139 and verse 2. It begins, and we perhaps ought to read the first verse. "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off." When you consider this, you have to consider before us today this: God understands my thoughts afar off. Not just close up, but afar off as well. There's another verse which speaks about thoughts in that psalm, Psalm 139 and verse 23. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." So the psalmist now comes and he asks God to know his thoughts, because sometimes he himself don't even understand the power of thoughts. And when you think about this, they're all subject to the search of God. God knows our thoughts, even this moment, as we're sitting here in church. The second thing that I want to just think with you very briefly about is that our thoughts are the source of our actions. There are sort of certain steps that we take. And you'll understand in a few moments when we go back to our verse in Philippians what I'm trying to build up and what I'm trying to do. But remember this, that there are steps in our action. First of all, there's the thought. And then there's the imagination of what takes place in our minds. And then from the imagination comes belief. Yes, I can do that. And then finally, there's the action. And that's the danger. Because it all begins in the thoughts of a man. The Lord said something like this, didn't he? But let me again quote that verse from Proverbs 23 and verse 7. "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So that the Bible tells us that as we think in our hearts, that's exactly what we are, even at this precise moment in time. We may wear nice clothes, we may act properly and correctly. What about our thoughts? What about our thoughts? Our text today is, "Think on these things, there is an alternative." The Lord spoke about lust, didn't he? And he spoke about adultery. But he also spoke about if a man lusts in his heart and his mind, he's already committed adultery. Why is that? Because it's in the thoughts. And all of us stand before God on that. It's the same of anger and murder as well. And we're all standing before God on that. Remember what it says in Psalm 24. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Not only clean hands, but a pure heart. And we're speaking there about the thoughts of a man. Oh, let's be honest and say we can all be deceived. You think about the Pharisees. Look at their actions. My, they were very honourable. They seemed to be very religious. They seemed to have everything. But the Lord looks upon the heart, not upon the outward appearance of man. And so, as he looks upon the heart, he can see into their hearts. And he knows that there's hypocrisy there. Have you ever wondered why it is we have some sort of sayings? We speak of the state of a person's mind. We don't know what the state of his mind was before he did that action. And then we speak about the frame of mind. What frame of mind is a person in? We also speak about the change of mind. All of these things would show us that the Bible is right. And what the Bible says about these things is perfectly correct. And you and I must understand what it really means. The third thing that I want to say here, by really way of introduction, because we're speaking really about the importance of our thoughts, is this: that our thoughts are a sign of our response to the gospel. Have you heard the gospel? Of course you have. You know that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You know that each one of us are sinners. You know that Christ is the only saviour of the world, and we all need to come to him and to be saved. But what do we have to do? What do we have to experience? The Bible says repent and believe the gospel. Repent. What does this word repent really mean? The word repent means a change of mind. A change of mind. When we speak about what happens for a person when they're saved, we speak about their mind. We speak about their will. We speak about their emotion. That's the sum total of a person. That's the personality of a man and of a woman. But what comes first? If we put the emotion first of all, we know that the seed falls on bad ground, because the sun comes up, as the Lord said, and is all dried up, and it comes to nothing at all. If we put the will first, as we sometimes do, then that hasn't much earth at all. And once again, it's dried up and comes to nothing whatsoever. But you see, it's through the mind of a man that God works. And if we reverse it, we find all froth and nothing else, and no real foundation. But if we put it in the biblical order, we know that first of all it's repentance, that's of the mind. A man must have a change of mind. He must turn from his sin, and he must turn unto the Lord, so that the Lord can forgive him and cleanse him. And then the Lord himself is the only one who can change our will, because that's what he does. And finally there's a change of emotion and a feeling, because now we love the Lord. And we want to serve him. We want to do his will. And we know that he indeed is the way, the truth, and the life. It's interesting, isn't it, even in this epistle, that Paul speaks about, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here is one who is an example to us, who had the greatest of minds. And we must be like unto him in our lives, in all that we do. So first of all, then, the importance of our thoughts. The second thing that I want to speak to you about is the control of our thoughts. First of all, we think about a discovery here. Let me ask you a question to see if you can answer this. Tell me this: how many thoughts do you have on a daily basis? Now, listen, those who have somehow calculated them say that we have up to 1 million thoughts. I find that beyond even comprehension. But certainly I know this, that we have thousands of thoughts every day. But tell me this again. Who controls your thoughts? Do you control your thoughts, or do your thoughts control you? See, much of the things which happen in the world and we call evil is because a man is controlled by his thoughts, and he does evil and he does the things which are wrong. Why? Because he's controlled by his thoughts. We have evil thoughts. Does that evil thought control you, or are you in control of your thoughts? You see, we're responsible for our thoughts. One day when we stand before God, it's not just our words, not just our actions, but even our thoughts are going to be judged before God. We're responsible for them. We read this morning from Mark and chapter 12, and I want to read to you again another verse. This is the first commandment which the Lord is speaking of here, and it's in chapter 12 of Mark and verse 30. And the Lord says, he asks the question, which is the first commandment? And in verse 29 he says, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. When this person who is questioning the Lord Jesus repeats what Jesus has said, he leaves out the question of the mind. You can't leave it out. It's part of the first commandment. The Lord tells us quite clearly here, this is the Lord's interpretation, and we must understand that this is exactly right. How many people have said, I can't help my thoughts? Oh, that's quite true, except this. Let me ask you once again, what do you feed your mind? Because if you feed your mind the certain things which bring those sort of thoughts, you are responsible, because you fed your mind in such a manner and in such a way of these evil things. And if you feed your mind with these things, then of course you'll have evil thoughts, and of course you'll have evil deeds. That's how important it is to be a Christian, to be born again, and to be totally regenerated by the Holy Spirit's power, so that we can live for God and do his will and do that which is right in his sight. What do you feed your mind? Do you feed it on the word of God and on the things of God and the way of God and the will of God? Or do you feed it upon things of the world and the flesh and the devil? And then the second thing I look at here is the danger. We think of some of the sins, and we all have to stand before God one day, open and clear before all, and we know that we have sinned and fallen far short of the glory of God. And apart from the blood of Christ, where would we be? Apart from the pardon of God, where would we be? We think of envy. That comes from the mind. We think of lust. Listen, that comes from the mind. Read the story of David. Read the story of what happened when he was left by himself at Jerusalem, and the armies went out to fight the battles, and he's by himself, has time in his hands, and the devil always finds time for idle hands. And so he goes on his rooftop, and on the rooftop he sees a woman bathing, and he sees this is in his mind, and his imagination goes one step further, and so because of that he takes her. And all the trouble starts. And in the end, it's murder. Murder of a man who was innocent. How awful this is. How terrible it is. David, a man after God's own heart. David, a mighty man who wrote the Psalms. What a tragedy that this should take place. It all began in his thoughts. He fed his thoughts. Because it was a lingering look. No one's blaming him for look. But we are blaming him for a lingering look. And murder followed in its wake. And David was 2 years out of fellowship with God and went through so terrible experiences. You can read about it in Psalm 51 and Psalm 102 as well. All wickedness begins, you see, in the thoughts of man. Have you ever heard the saying, of course you have, his mind ran wild? You see, that's what happens with a depraved mind. A mind running wild. And then afterwards there's fears, and there's regrets, and there's guilt, and there's judgment. This morning you may be here, and you know what it means to have fears because of sin. You may feel regret, you wish you'd never done that. You may feel the guilt upon you, and you know that one day there's going to be a day of judgment. Listen, the gospel says that you can be forgiven. And you can say, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth me from all sin. God can do that. And that's the wonder of the word of God. And so here is the demand as well. You see, we are servants, and we really are servants. We could be servants of the flesh, and of the world, and of the devil. Or we could be servants of Christ. But there's no in-between, is there? And I would ask you sincerely today, tell me, whose servant are you? If you're a Christian, you're indwelt by the Spirit. The faith is all-embracing. It's just like our scripture that we're going to consider a bit of, in a moment, where it says, whatsoever. In other words, everything is governed by God and should be governed. The scriptures say quite clearly, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Set your mind on things above. And you and I must understand what that means, that he is in control, that we know the experience of the word of God and of prayer, and that we meditate upon the scriptures, setting our mind upon things above, meditating on the things of God alone. You know, Christ sets a high standard, doesn't he? The world says all these things are okay. Yes, we live in a world of moral pollution, but it doesn't matter. The world says drugs are okay. Listen, do you remember what drugs do? They alter the mind. That's what they do. And that's how the devil works. Trying to alter the mind of men and women. The world says, we are liberated. No, you're not. You're enslaved. That's what you are. You're under the slavery of Satan himself. The world says the behavior is okay. Oh, no. No, one day you're going to pass off the scene of this time. For it's appointed unto man once to die, but after that the judgment. And even in this home, broken homes, lives ruined, people destroyed. Why? Their minds are not right. They've never repented of their sins. So finally this morning I want to just speak to you about the direction of our thoughts. You see, our scripture speaks really about that. The direction of our thoughts. Let me read the verse again, and you mark these things. There are at least seven of them, but notice what it says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. I suppose we can almost say that this is Christ's ideal. This is one of the great positive verses of the Bible. Think on these things. When a negative thought appears in our mind, when a negative thought comes into our minds, then voice a positive thought in its place, so that the negative thought may be taken away. When you're in trouble, then voice a positive thought. Billy Sunday was right when he said that one day the old devil was tempting him, and he imagined he'd been taken to hell, and the old devil said, ah, listen, Billy Sunday, he was a great evangelist in America, and he said, Billy, you're in hell now. And Billy said, well, I'm just going to shout hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Because it said, if I found myself in hell, the devil couldn't keep me there when I'm shouting hallelujah. But how many of us remember that? Because we do go through periods in our lives of hell. of trouble and trial and difficulty. And when we're in that and when we're down, shout hallelujah! Because that will bring us out. And that will help us to overcome. It's true. Or even some of the other verses of the Word of God. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through the knowledge of Christ. You know the verses. And these are the verses that we must say when we're down like that. Let me just briefly go through these. Think on these things. What does it say here? It says, whatsoever things are true. There's plenty of falsehood all around about us, isn't there? And every day our minds are fed with falsehood, even from the television and from the newspaper. And you know that we're living in a changing world. And so things change so often. They say this is truth, but suddenly there's more truth, or that's not true anymore. There's another part of truth. That's just about evolution. They keep changing it, don't they? Why? Because it's not true. It's absolutely false. 100% false. And so we must think about things that are true. That which is truth about God. He's the sovereign ruler of the skies. He's the one in charge. Think about Christ, who is living and real. Think about him. He is true. He is the truth. Think about eternity. That there is a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. Think about the Bible, which is true. And think about the verses of the Bible. This is true. Do these first. That's very important that we do this. Let me quote you just something someone said in the past. He said this, the victor never is asked if he told the truth in the first place. Who said that? Hitler. He lied and he lied. He got into power. And he got into the hearts and minds and thoughts of people. And what devastation he brought to the world. He had no truth, did he? President Nixon was the man, of course, who was impeached. He said this before, let us commit ourselves to the truth. See it like it is. Tell it like it is. Didn't do it, did he? Only Christ can give you the strength to do that. Truth in everything. And then, what does it say? Whatsoever things are honest, the word means honourable, respected, in our personal lives, in our business life, in our church life. Honest. We need people who are honest about everything. And then it says, whatsoever things are just. All the world is full of craft and deceit. But the Christian must always be fair and must be those of integrity. And then it says here, whatsoever things are pure. That's a word that people don't like these days, do they? Our society is not pure. It's a dirty society. Philippi was exactly the same. It was corrupt, godless, immorality, decadent. But the Christian must be noted for purity. Remember the story about the 10 virgins? 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. You know, they all looked alike. 3 things about them. First of all, what they possessed. They all possessed a lamp. And you see, we should be those who have a lamp to shine the light into the world. And then they all had a prospect in the sense they all went out to meet the bridegroom. We're all going to meet God one day. And then the third thing is, they were all virgins, pure. They looked the same, but they weren't, were they? There was a difference. Some had oil and some who didn't. Some had Christ and some who didn't. Some who knew what it meant to be saved and some who didn't. That's what it means. What about this other next phrase? Lovely phrase. Whatsoever things are lovely, pleasing, agreeable. The Greek is a word which speaks about towards love. It's only found here in the whole of the New Testament. It's a word we use in epitaphs about people. He was a lovely man. She was a lovely, lovely woman. But it doesn't matter what we think. It's what God thinks. And we must understand that. Whatsoever things are lovely. Do we look upon things which are lovely? We look on these gifts. They're all lovely, aren't they? The pure gifts of God, they're all lovely. And that's where perhaps harvest comes in today. If you look through the scriptures, you'll see in the Old Testament how it speaks about Saul and Jonathan. They were lovely in their lives. That was true fellowship. When you look at Psalm 84 and verse 1, it says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles." The word amiable means how lovely are thy tabernacles. If you love coming to church, you should do. It's a lovely place, isn't it? We love the Lord. And it's a lovely place. And then in Song of Songs, and chapter 5 and verse 16, the Shulamite, the bride, finally comes to the point where she says, "He is altogether lovely. Yea, he is altogether lovely." Could you say that? He is, yea, he is altogether lovely. Oh, he really is, isn't he? Whatsoever things are lovely, what should I think about? Think about the Lord. And think about how lovely the Lord really is. And then, what do we say here? And of good report. You know, let me tell you this. You wouldn't read the newspaper unless it had negative things in it. Isn't that tragic? If our newspaper came out tomorrow and told you all about the good things in the world, you'd think, well, what's the point? We want to read about scandal. We want to read about bad things. We want to read about violence. We want to read about what's taking place in the other parts of the world. How awful we are. Can you understand what I'm saying? Because that's the fact, you see. And yet, the Bible tells us, think on good report, good things, not on bad things. This whole world is full of evil. But to know the Lord and to love the Lord and to serve the Lord, that's good report. And then anything which is of virtue and of praise. My, there's not much, is there? But there is, being a Christian. Because everything is covered here, isn't it? Every detail of our lives. Every detail. And the Bible says, think on these things. Think on these things. Christian, this is how we control our mind. This is how we control our thoughts. And this verse ought to be learned by every one of us so that we can understand it, so we can enter into it, so that we can experience it, so that we enjoy it, and that the Lord may be praised and we shall be blessed. May God bless his word to our hearts and lives.